Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you stand one more time? We're going to turn to the book of John, John chapter number 3. Amen. John chapter number 3. And believe it or not, I fail to kind of preach about, I guess it'd be an Easter message. I'll preach whatever God gives me. I don't have to follow the holiday, but I do feel this today, so yes. I'm going to try and follow after God. Amen. John chapter 3, let's read at verse 14. The Bible says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Amen. Say amen to the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity one more time to be in your presence today. God, we're praying for your touch on the remainder of this service. God, that you would bless your people, that you would strengthen them. Touch each heart, we pray. Let each heart receive your word. Loosen and anoint my mind to think your thoughts and my word to my mouth to speak your word, I pray. We're asking that your perfect will be accomplished here today, that the will of God be done. We'll be careful to give you the glory and the honor for it today. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. Please be seated. Amen. Thank you again, Pastor Cowan, for having us. Amen. Amen. I love the people of God. There's no people I would rather be with than God's people. Amen. And there's no place I would rather be than the house of God on a church day. Amen. When we're traveling, we're in a lot of different places. But I'm happy to be with people who love God today. Amen. I want to worship him together in spirit and in truth. Amen. These words that we have read are the words of Jesus. And they are powerful words. Probably many places will use at least John 3:16 today. But how many places understand it, I'm not sure. Because Jesus had a reason that he spoke these words. And often it's overlooked what Jesus was really saying when he spoke them. Amen. We're here together today, number one, to worship God and to thank him for what he's done. And especially today, we focus on the resurrection of Jesus. Again, it's not just a one Sunday thing. We ought to think about it more than just on Easter Sunday. Amen. And we ought to live worthy of the sacrifice that Jesus has made for us. That doesn't mean we were worthy of it, but we ought to live according to what he has done for us. Take advantage of what he has done for us. Amen. So we want to look at these words about the death and resurrection of Jesus and see why he did what he did. Amen. I believe that Jesus had a purpose in everything that he did, including coming here to this service today. The Bible tells us where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's there in the midst of them. And I realize that can be explained in a lot of ways, talking about different things. But if you just take it at face value, I'm not very good at math, but I can count to three. And I believe we have at least three people here today who have gathered together in the name of Jesus. So Jesus is here, and he has a purpose when he comes to the church. Amen. We sing an old song, "You won't leave here like you came," in Jesus' name. Amen. The purpose of church is not to come and visit with people and have a good social time. The purpose is to come to the house of God and let the perfect one change us and allow us to be more like him. Amen. For a long time ago, mankind was separated from God. And it was because of the sin of Adam and Eve that we were separated from God. And without a remedy that Jesus provided, that separation still exists. But if you take advantage of what God has done for us, amen, that separation can be closed and you can once again have a relationship with God. Amen. And God here in flesh, Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Amen. He's not just a second person in the Godhead. He is God. Amen. For great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Amen. We know who Jesus is, and I'm thankful we know who he is. Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. He said, except you believe I'm Jehovah, you're going to die in your sins. Amen. Jesus told Philip, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. I and my Father are one. Jesus is God. And he was referring back to the Old Testament. He could refer back to the Old Testament because he was there when this happened. Amen. He hadn't come in the flesh yet, but he was there. Amen. When he spoke of this story about the serpent being lifted in the wilderness. This comes from Numbers chapter 21. We'll read there just for a moment. Numbers 21, beginning at verse 4. They journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. The people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Amen. There's a reason that if the paramedics come to help you, you look on one of their patches a lot of times on their uniform, and they're going to have a pole with a serpent around it. That comes from the Bible. Amen. It was a biblical story. And Jesus was referring back to this. Amen. The children of Israel had again sinned against the Lord. It was something they often did. And their examples are for us, upon whom the ends of the world have come. We ought to learn not to complain about God, not to complain about the man of God. Amen. God pays attention to what we say. And God doesn't look too kindly on some things that we say. Amen. God has a way of taking care of problems. And he sent some serpents among them. This was the judgment of God. And notice they repented. If you want to ever get anywhere with God, you first must repent of your sins. And these people had sinned, and they recognized, Moses, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Aren't you thankful that God forgives when we ask him to forgive us? Amen. It didn't matter how many times they had failed God before this point and had sinned against the Lord. Even though God had sent judgment, when they began to ask for forgiveness, God sent a remedy for their problem. Amen. God instructed Moses to make a serpent and put it upon a pole that those who were bitten could see it, look upon it, and live. Amen. God was the one who had made the serpents. God was the one who had sent the serpents. And God was allowing them to do what he had sent them to do. Now they asked Moses, pray that God take these away. God answered their prayer, but he didn't answer it just the way that they had prayed it. They wanted it to be taken away, but that wasn't the will of God for the serpents to be taken away. He could have taken them away. He had the power to do it. He could have made it so their bite was no longer venomous, but that's not what he did. He could have made the serpents leave from the camp of the people, kind of like he did when they were in Egypt, and he would send the different plagues, and then they would depart. God made them depart, the different things, maybe the frogs or the gnats or whatever God had sent. But that wasn't what God chose to do this way, this time. His instruction was to build a serpent and put it on a pole so those who were bitten and would look on it would be saved. It didn't stop them from being bitten by the snakes. And it didn't do them any good if they did not look on it. But if they were bitten and they looked to the pole with the serpent on it, the Bible says they would live. Now, we don't understand why God does everything that he does. That's up to him. He doesn't ask our opinion. He doesn't need our help. But God chose to do his work this way. Some people get a little hung up with God because they don't understand why he does things the way he does. Amen. You get a lot further with God if you just yield to him and do as he instructs you to do. Amen. Now in John 3, Jesus is using this story describing how he himself must be lifted up, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus was using this story to teach us about why he would die and what those who would be saved, those who desired to be saved, would have to do in order to be saved. Jesus wasn't just saying, believe on me and you're good to go. Amen. Amen. He didn't just say, believe and you'll be saved. Jesus was getting at something. That's often interpreted that way. Oh, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. That's not what Jesus was saying. Amen. You do have to believe on him. But when you believe in something, you're going to do what the one you believe in is saying to do. Amen. We're in a nice building today. And if I said this building is on fire, you wouldn't just thank me and continue to sit in the pew. If you believed me, you would exit the building because you don't want to die. And Jesus said, believe on me. But he had a whole lot more instruction throughout his word on what you must do if you're really going to believe in him. Amen. We start by believing God. But when we really begin to believe God, we will do what he says we must do to be saved. Amen. We trust him and we want to be saved. And so we do what he says to do. The Bible tells us in Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody has been born into sin, except Adam and Eve. They were created, but after them, everybody has been born into sin. Amen. The Chinese are very proud of their heritage. They can trace back some 5,000 years and glory. Amen. But we work with a nice lady. She's an elderly lady. And she's convinced that she is not a descendant of Adam and Eve. Yeah, well, got news for you. You are a descendant. Therefore, so she doesn't think she has sin because she's not related to Adam. Well, you are related to Adam. Everybody has come from Adam and Eve. Amen. The Bible tells us of one blood, God has made all people. Amen. Doesn't matter what you look like, what language you speak, the color of your skin. It's one blood. God's made us all the same. Everybody has been born into sin. Amen. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5 and 12 tells us, wherefore, as by one man, this is Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Amen. Your pastor quoted earlier Romans 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When you find out you have a condition that will kill you, most times people want to do what it takes to live. Amen. If the doctor says you're going to die, except we do this, most people are willing to say, okay, doctor, let's do what you said to do. I'm not excusing God. We know God can heal anything. But if God allows us to go to the doctor and allows the doctor to have the wisdom to help us, most times we're willing to say, okay, let's do it. I want to live. Amen. But there's a lot of people in our world that are living with a deathly condition, and that is the condition of sin and the wage of sin. You're going to receive a paycheck at the end of your life if you live in sin. And that is going to be death, eternal separation from God in hellfire. Amen. I didn't write the Bible, but I preached the Bible. Amen. There's only two destinations in eternity, and that is heaven or hell. Why would Jesus come to save us if we didn't need saved? Man had been separated from God. The wage of sin is death. But the gift of God, Jesus brought something different for us. is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. James 1 and 15 says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So everybody is brought into this world in sin. Amen. And we should all have to pay ourselves for the sin that we have committed. Amen. Your responsibility is not my sin. I shouldn't be responsible for your sin. I have my own. I ought to bear the punishment for my own sin. You ought to bear the punishment for your sin. But it takes the shedding of blood to remit sins. Amen. The Old Testament is full of the shedding of blood because that was God's plan at that time before he would come, that a lamb would be offered for the sins of the people. That lamb had not sinned. He was to be a spotless lamb and one that had no blemishes. But his blood was shed to cover the sins of people who had sinned. Amen. They deserved to die, but God made a way for them that an animal blood could roll ahead their sins, looking ahead to Calvary. Amen. That where their sins would forever be washed away. Amen. The Bible says in almost all things, Hebrews 9 and 22, are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. Amen. If you want your sins to be washed away, there had to have been blood shed. And you remember what John the Baptist said. He said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the whole world. Amen. No longer do we offer a sacrifice of blood because Jesus came and shed his perfect blood. Amen. So that all sins might be remitted if we believe on him and do as he has instructed us to do. And so we find ourselves in a similar place as the children of Israel did. They were bitten by venomous snakes and had no hope of survival. And we were born sinners, separated from God, with no hope of survival in this world. Amen. There's no worse place to live than separated from God. Amen. But just as God provided them a way to survive the snake bite, amen, with the rod that Moses lifted up, God provided us a way to be saved. He came himself to die for our sins. He hung on a cross for you and me. He was buried. And on the third day, he rose again, and he has all power, even over death. Amen. That's why a child of God doesn't have to fear death. Might be the end of the physical life, but Jesus has brought eternal life. And all it's going to be is stepping across from this mortal existence into immortal existence. Amen. Into the presence of Jesus. Amen. For the children of Israel, they had to look to that rod and the serpent to be saved. Now they could argue, this is pretty weird, Moses. We asked you to take away the serpents. We asked you to pray and ask God to take them away. Why do I have to look on this serpent? Amen. Most people, when if someone's drowning and they throw them a life preserver, they're typically white with the orange stripes on them. Most people don't say, I don't like orange. Can you get a different life preserver? I don't like the color of this. I don't like the shape of it. They're not concerned about what the saving method is. They're just looking for a savior, something to save them. And when Jesus provides a way of salvation, we ought not look at it and say, I don't like what Jesus did. I don't like what Jesus requires of me. I want to be saved, but Jesus, couldn't you have chosen a different color? Couldn't you have done something else, Lord? Couldn't you have required something else? They had to look on that rod if they wanted to be saved. And what Jesus did for us does us no good if we don't continue on in his word and do what he said to do to be saved. Amen. He told us in the text we read the reason that he came. It wasn't so that we'd have a nice story. It wasn't so that you could paint eggs today and go to the Easter Bunny and take a pickle. I don't even know where that thing came from. We shoot bunnies where I came from. But anyhow, they have the Easter bunny, and you go and get your candy and your picture taken. That's not what Easter's about. Amen. I have nothing against candy and all that stuff, but that we know that's not what Easter's about. He came to save lost humanity. Amen. He came to save you and me. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Now, don't take that wrong and think God's not going to judge sin. God's going to judge sin.
Yes, he will.
Amen. And if you're not right with God, you'll fall on the wrong side of God's judgment. Amen. But he didn't come to condemn you. He came to save you. But you've got to take advantage. It's like Moses and the people. You've got to look on that rod so you can be saved. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus spoke to a man named Nicodemus. It's all in the same chapter. Nicodemus didn't ask him. He came and praised him, gave him a bunch of glory. Notice God wasn't real interested in his praise. There was something more important that God wanted to deal with. Amen. Master, we know that you come from God. No man can do what you're doing except God be with him. And Jesus said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That's quite a response. When you look at what Nicodemus was saying, maybe God was pointing out, Nicodemus, the praise isn't so important at this point. You have a greater need. You need to be saved. Amen. Praise is important, but it's more important to be saved. Amen. You can praise God after you're saved. Your focus ought to be, "God, I've got to be saved." Amen. Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." This is the same God, Jesus Christ, who said just a little bit later that he, except a man, I can't even get it right, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him, in him, should not perish. So I can't just say, "Jesus, I believe in you, and I'm saved." Because the same Jesus said, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit," in your Bible that's a capital S indicating the Holy Ghost, "he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So I can't come and shake Pastor Cowan's hand and say, "I believe in Jesus, and now I'm saved." It doesn't work that way. Amen. I can't sign a membership card and say, "Hey, I'm saved. I believe you, Jesus," and continue living the way I've always been living. Jesus said, "Except a man be born of water," that's baptism, "and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Amen. Real belief in Jesus will say, "Yes, I will be baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. I will receive the Holy Ghost because this is the instruction of God himself." Amen. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, "Repent." Amen. We need a revival of repentance in the world. Amen. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but there's a lot of people that don't want to repent. Because when you repent, you cut off the sins. Amen. You don't come on Sunday and repent, go back on Monday, sin. Tuesday, sin. Come back on Wednesday, repent. Go back Thursday, Friday, sin. Saturday, sin. Come on Sunday, repent again, and continue to live in sin. That's not repentance. Amen. Real repentance is the alcoholic. He may not even think he's an alcoholic. He may not be an alcoholic. He pours out the alcohol. "God, I'm not going to do this anymore because I realize it's not pleasing to you." Amen. The one who lives an immoral lifestyle, they cut it off. "I'm not living in adultery anymore. I'm not going to live in fornication. I'm not going to watch pornography." You can't go to heaven watching pornography. Amen. And so they get rid of those things. "I'm cutting this off. And I'm not going back because these are things that are contrary to the Word of God."
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn real quick to Galatians chapter number 5. Amen. Galatians chapter number 5. There's a lot of things that go on in our world that people say it's no big deal. God understands you can go to heaven any old way that you are. But the Bible has something different to say about that. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Witchcraft also has to do with illegal drugs and probably prescription drugs as well. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. There's a great big wall around heaven, and you're not getting in there if any of these fruits of the flesh are manifest in your life. And Jesus came so that you could be delivered from the works of the flesh. Amen. Delivered from the things that holds you captive. Amen. And my notes have disappeared on me, but that's no problem. Amen. We just keep on going. Amen. Jesus came to save you. Amen. So when Jesus has something to say about being saved, I can't believe on him and say, yes, Lord, I believe you, and then continue to live contrary to his word. Amen. If I'm going to believe in him, I must line up to everything that he has to say. Amen. It can't be that, oh, well, I think I have a better way to be saved. I don't think I have to follow what Pastor Cowan preaches to be saved. Amen. God gives you a pastor. Amen. It's not your job, amen, to pick your pastor. Amen. It's God's job. Amen. And God will give you the pastor that he says is right. And I believe God expects you to follow the words that your pastor preaches. Amen. Well, I believe it anyhow, and it's the truth. You can read it in the Word of God. It wasn't enough for Israel to say, I believe in the rod. I believe it'll work. They had to physically turn wherever they were at and look at the rod. You say, that's crazy. Why did they have to do that? That was God's way. They had to obey the command to live. Amen. And there's a lot of people who are expecting to stand before Jesus and hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. But they haven't physically turned to obey what Jesus has said to do. And Jesus said, many are going to come to me on that day, and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, we've done all these things in your name. And Jesus tells them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. That's pretty scary to think. Jesus didn't argue with them. He didn't say, oh, you haven't done these things in my name. No, you haven't done this. He just said, I don't know you. I never knew you. Amen. This is the time to choose to believe. This is the day to say, Lord, I do believe in you. And I realize your word requires some things of me. Amen. I must repent. Amen. I must feel bad for my sins. I must change my way. I must ask God to forgive me. And I've got to turn from those things. I've got to be baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. You look up the definition. That's complete burial in water. Amen. That's why you got such a deep baptismal tank. Amen. It's not to be flicked with water. It's to be buried in Jesus' name. Amen. There's no other way. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Jesus has a saving method, but you've got to follow his way. Would you stand with me this morning? Amen. It's not enough to say, I believe in Jesus. I believe he came to die for me and to rise again. We start there. But if the belief is real, if the faith is real, you're going to say, I'll do what it takes to be saved. Amen. This is the main reason that Jesus came. Amen. It's the main reason. There was a lot of healings that happened because Jesus came, but that wasn't his main purpose. Amen. There was a lot of things that transpired. People fed. People saw miracles. And they were all great things. Thank God for what he did. But the main reason he came was to save humanity. Amen. He rose again so that you and I could be saved. I like that song we sang. Living, he loved me. Amen. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Amen. We're buried with him in baptism, the Bible says. Amen. Rising, he justified us. Amen. We rise together to walk in newness of life. Amen. Amen. In 1 John 3:8, the Bible tells us Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. That's still what Jesus is doing, but we've got to change. If Jesus is going to save us, we've got to change. We've got to recognize, Jesus, you're right, and I'm wrong. Amen, and I'm willing to do it your way. Would you lift your hands and talk to the Lord?